China tries to one-up America's corporate tax cuts. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. The new tax law in the U.S. was sold as a bid to make American companies more competitive and to lure companies from places like China. Now the Chinese government is trying to stop that. This week, China announced some foreign firms will not have to pay taxes on their earnings. It's a temporary measure that could be appealing for some businesses. For more on this, I'm joined by Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pak. She's on the line from Shanghai. And Jennifer, will this latest move by the Chinese authorities make U.S. companies want to stay in China?
As always with these announcements in China, there's a catch. Yes, foreign companies will not have to pay taxes on their earnings, but only if they invest these earnings in sectors encouraged by the government. So if your business is in the technology industry or wind or solar power, then that's great. Otherwise, this announcement doesn't do much to address long-standing complaints by American and foreign firms.
Well, what are some of those complaints? How difficult is it to do business in China these days for foreign companies?
Well, look, first, China is still a manufacturing hub. It has the raw materials, the logistics, a huge labor force willing to work long hours. They're producing goods that Americans and consumers want. But China charges very high taxes. The standard corporate tax rate is 25%, plus companies have to pay social security contributions. And sometimes workers here don't believe that these contributions will still be there when they retire. So that means that businesses and employers have to bump up the salary. All of these things push the cost of doing business much higher than it is in many other countries.
So what kinds of things would make China more attractive for U.S. companies?
Well, three big things. Make the rules clearer, allow more market access for foreign firms, and stop restricting capital out of the country. China has, of course, announced reforms in some of these areas, but U.S. companies and foreign firms say it's just not doing it fast enough. So while China's leaders say it's open for business, a lot of foreign companies feel otherwise.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
And here's another effect of the new tax law. It would limit tax breaks currently benefiting big employers in Puerto Rico. Now, income from patents and other intellectual property that's earned on the island will be considered foreign income, and that's subject to a 12.5% tax under the new law. One-third of Puerto Rico's tax base now comes from medical manufacturers, many of them multinational firms. If they flee, it could mean more damage for the island's fragile economy. Marketplace's Renata Sego reports.
Puerto Rico's federal tax status as a foreign jurisdiction has been its biggest appeal to manufacturers. It's mainly pharmaceutical and medical device makers that set up operations, pay the island's local taxes, and get a break on federal taxes. It's been a win for the companies and for the island's economy, adding revenue and jobs. Without the lure of the tax break, Puerto Rico loses its best leverage in its post-hurricane failing economy. But Kate Long of the research firm Puerto Rico Clearinghouse says companies really can't do better by leaving the island.
They can't really go anywhere to evade taxes anymore.
Federico de Jesus of FDJ Consulting worries, though, that manufacturers will leave, looking for other ways to save money.
They might move to a jurisdiction where they don't have to face the U.S. minimum wage or the EPA regulations and all of the other regulations that they don't have in other countries.
But that would mean uprooting operations to other places, which could get costly, too. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
And we also have a conversation today with the mayor of San Armand in Puerto Rico about his town's recovery after Hurricane Maria. We've spent the week checking in on American communities hit by natural disasters this year. You can find all those conversations on our website, marketplace.org.
December 31st is coming up fast, and that means time is running out to make your tax-deductible donation to support Marketplace. Your gift not only tells us that you value what we do, it also helps us do more of it and reach more people as well. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps people understand the financial forces that affect their lives so that they can make better decisions. This is your chance to be a partner in our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. For as little as $5 a month, become a Marketplace investor today. Donate online at marketplace.org. And thanks for making a difference.
For decades, jobs in the textile and apparel manufacturing industries have been on the decline across the U.S. Texas is no exception. But one Dallas nonprofit is training more people to work with textiles, people who are visually impaired. From KERA in Dallas, Lauren Silverman has the story.
Chylon Lias, who is blind, is sewing pockets on bright orange safety vests.
So this is like the front part of the vest. And then this right here is a pocket.
Lias uses custom-made plastic guides to help line up the edges of his work. The sewing machines at the Dallas Lighthouse for the Blind have all been modified and are cited supervisors for quality control. About 65 people are sewing technicians at the nonprofit, and they're paid an average of $12 per hour. Most of the products produced here are old school. Markers, highlighters, vinyl binders. When Hugh McElroy became CEO a year and a half ago, he knew that if the 80-year-old organization was to survive, it would need to diversify. That's when he thought of textiles.
Textiles globally is roughly a $3 to $4 trillion enterprise. And if you can participate in that in some way and find a niche so that you're not trying to compete with a commodity on the world market, you can succeed in some amazing ways.
McElroy was certain the Lighthouse had two advantages in today's textiles market. First, the resurgence of Buy American. And
we also have Americans with Disabilities Act. So you've got an ADA badge that can be applied to a product that you're manufacturing or servicing.
That ADA badge attracts clients like Catherine Beach. When she heard about the nonprofit's foray into fashion, she thought it could be a good fit for her line of women's hunting vests. She points to a beige and blue paisley material.
If you're not shooting, you could wear this easily around town with any pants or jeans, leggings.
Beach could have had the vests made in New York City, but
I felt like I had to be true to my Texas roots and do something here locally.
Dallas Lighthouse for the Blind CEO McElroy says he hopes to draw in other clients like Beach and offer more jobs for people in North Texas who are visually impaired. In Dallas, I'm Lauren Silverman for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.